Straw.
The best way, in my opinion, is just like
You
cleaning up the lid
hate
and just go
turtles. That's
directly.
what I'm hearing,
What?
actually. You hate turtles. That's what I heard.
Oh no, I like bottle straws. And biodegradable.
Biodegradable. Yeah.
Beautiful.
I am joking.
Marine biodegradable. Andrea, how are you feeling?
Oh my gosh, much better.
Thank you so
Good.
much.
I am no longer typhoid Mary.
I was so
Oh,
bad. It was so bad.
there were so many people sick that week.
Oh.
So many people.
How
is your day?
Good.
How is your week?
All right. Actually, my week, I've got all this stuff, but probably tonight at around 3 or 4, I'll be putting some
the
Yeah.
when you say tonight, you mean tomorrow.
Yes. Because I don't really have class tomorrow,
There's also
which is great. Because established medicine, I'm done. So I can work it into the right.
Eagerness, but
Oh, thank you so much. You're welcome. Thank you
Is this
for
our
your
paycheck?
It's a big
Stock option or something?
Oh, yay.
Actually,
Oh.
how are you doing in general,
Uh-oh.
though?
You're going to make it into the heightened assembly. That's been great. Can I get to the
Yeah, my time is about to be
But
over.
you have to
No.
Yeah, there are
Because I tried to make
certificates from the president.
all the terms like edits
And
and it's like a lot
every
less
member
than
gets one,
focus
so
on
yours
and then
probably
frame it.
in the
Yeah. Put
assembly.
in all
application. I get
Better than
one for each. Is
that.
that what this
Yeah.
is?
Well, it's pretty much
Well,
or
I
just
do them
one.
together. I do them.
Saving the turtles. Saving the turtles. Thank you.
There you go.
Wow.
I've been seeing Kawasaki everywhere. He's like
especially with the
Wait, I like make a point to go up and like say hi to him. And like I think he's probably like, why is this kid everywhere?
It's gonna be an
I'm like, why
yeah.
is he everywhere?
Jessica was actually the very
Gosh.
first person to find out
The thing is, he
because
doesn't like recognize me, which I think is like
when
cool.
the calls, I was like,
But I remember this one time I had a like at the
yeah.
meme pack or whatever, he just like looked at my name
That's
tag.
very exciting.
Hi.
It'll take another couple tries
Cool.
before you're ready to be.
Okay. I
Yes.
Oh,
about
thank
Dragon Day, and
Yes.
it's like so tempting to like say hello because
Yeah.
I was literally walking
Oh.
kind of right next to
Up
it on the
campus
sidewalk,
door.
Yeah.
and then I was like, oh, there's probably a security guard behind
Yeah.
it.
I
And
love Adam really fast.
I was like, I don't want to get like, I don't want
Yeah.
to either get embarrassed. Yeah, I'm gonna
I'll
go
talk
down
to
there and drop the phone on the phone.
I was
So I'm just gonna stand
not
right here.
coach. That's one.
Mr. President.
Oh, whoa.
And you'll get an honor cord too.
When what?
Oh, no.
So when the message goes out,
Oh
I'll
my
try to
God.
order the email you separately.
Yeah.
It's such a
Yeah, I'll
letter that
try to
I told
sell
you not
that.
to
So I
read
don't
beforehand because I was in the office today.
Okay.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah.
So a couple cops just came in and just like having like coffee with someone.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah,
Very dumb.
please
If I was getting president, I would eat a dining hall
Yeah.
on campus.
Yeah.
I would. I feel like that'd be a good PR thing. And also, it'd just be like more
No,
like,
no, I would
students.
not want
You're
that.
Yeah,
okay.
yeah.
Okay.
All these kids would come
It's not
up
a
to me and
matter
ask
of
me
like
like annoying
asking.
questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
They can ask me whatever they want.
Like, you know how much like pressure
Wow.
there is like when you said like some assembly? You just know that same shit would happen if you went to like Boris Hall.
Sorry.
Remember you did that stunt where he was like
Oh yeah, he was
he
like he was having it
was
up at Morrison during
the
oh my
scooping ice
God.
cream.
Yeah. That's insane.
I
Yeah,
saw
he
him this year. He was just scooping ice cream.
And
Yeah.
for context, that was also when the strikes were happening for
Yeah.
said people.
Yeah.
So he was quite literally being face of like being a scab.
Anti-strike. Yeah.
That time. About it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So who is the future of the EA?
Yeah.
That's okay.
University.
Oh, shoot.
We
Yeah,
don't
I forgot to bring
ILR
up
school.
I didn't know it
Oh, it's okay. I can use. I'll find it on.
Okay.
So funny. The home of the ILR school.
You go to the graduate ceremony? What?
There's a graduate.
At the Cornell store.
Did not know that was happening.
Graduate fair?
Of course, what I think is like,
or,
oh,
he,
I think we're
yeah,
making a gap. Is that
yeah.
happening now?
I thought
Thought
that
that was due
was
like
no.
this past week, weekend.
Yeah, it was due. Like, did I have to pick it up?
I don't know.
know. Did you order into your house?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll probably pick it up at some point.
We need a lemon.
I don't think so.
I just want to know what's going on in the life that we're going to get.
Wait, what?
Are you getting a diploma?
So will you be
on
the
still?
Yeah.
You'll be on.
We
it.
Get one.
My term is another year. It's
okay.
A 3 year term.
Because.
That's so smart.
Yeah.
Well, let me use the UA funds. I might still be chair.
I don't think UA has funds.
Is that any better?
Not, I feel
like and it's not embezzlement, it's a strategic acquisition
no, bad, so
of utilizing funds
because,
to.
So here's the big difference. No. The SA and the GPSA manage the
so I just don't
yeah. And you get your budget from them. The UA and the EO are
Christy. Right. So she won't have
so
it, other people's
university to. Funds and there are different rules about it.
Like,
she'll be the
child. She'll be there. Maybe that will be bad.
Maybe. No. We'll see. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't. Oh, she doesn't.
Well,
I forgot what Shelby called it, but Shelby said something like, you have like,
so you will see.
Oh,
so,
that's exciting.
Yeah.
Look.
You can pull up your budget at the moment. Okay. So your budget, the university has something that has different sub categories, and one of them is executive. So if you
okay,
so people to like coffee or lunch or something, you could do that.
Okay.
If you want quarter zips for your executive, okay. I don't off the top of my head know how much.
Hello.
There is.
What do we have money?
What's up?
What do we have money for?
I don't
today?
Yeah. Wait. Today to the meet one
more person.
Yeah. Come here. Today at
6. Yeah.
Okay.
It's that
high. Yeah. If we have quorum, that would be great because otherwise there's nothing. Like you can't do anything.
Yeah.
We need one more person. Here we go.
Laura, that one more person.
Oh no, there's
David.
David.
Yippee. So is that excitement or is it that like that moment when the professor walks in 30 minutes later and
no.
Oh, we're going to have
no, it's excitement.
Because we can finally do business.
I'm excited
no,
for your panel on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, super excited.
Look forward to it.
Yes, for you.
I mean, I suppose that shouldn't that lightning shouldn't be cheap.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
All right, everyone. I'm going to call this meeting to order at 4:51 p.m. on Tuesday, April 22nd. And I'm using my phone as a gavel because I forgot my gavel again.
Okay. I'm coming to roll call.
Marcy Benda.
Present.
Nicholas Brenner. Jonathan Butcher.
Here.
Erica Crawley. Zora Durham.
Present.
Eve DeRosa.
Here.
Deborah Dinner. Ellie Gaynor.
Here.
Andy Garcia Ortiz.
Present.
Andrea Henlon Mott.
Here.
Ocean Corinne.
Present as Albert Bean.
Ava LaGresso.
Present.
Nicholas Nagar, Salman Matan, Shiran Motajutla, Stephanie Razu, Christian Tirala.
Present.
Wendy Tree.
I'm here.
And Adam Vinson.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving into the land development. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayapono, the Cayuga Nation. The Cayuga Nation are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on the land. The Confederacy preceded the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Cayuga Nation's possession and honor the ongoing connection of the Cayuga Nation people, past and present, these waters and lands. We're going to move on to the approval of the April 8th, 2025 minutes. If you could take a look at them, they're attached onto the agenda and in the box as well. We're going to take 3 minutes.
What I can agree, are we also approving the March 25th meeting minutes since that was able to be?
Yes, it was added to the agenda, so there are actually two. Sorry,
after publication.
What is it? It's a March 27th?
March
25th?
Oh, sorry. Yes,
sorry. Yeah, I'd like to. Is that to late editions or
no? It's on the agenda.
It's just not on the R printed one. It's one
oh.
That got just
okay.
Well, it's just not this.
Okay. We will also be taking a look at the March 25th minutes as well. So if you could take a look at that, we'll take 5 minutes altogether to look at both.
Does the roll call have Andy Garcia Ortiz recognized? Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Yes, motion.
Motions for the approval of the March 25th meeting minutes.
Do I have a second? Second. Any dissent? No? Okay, we have passed the March 25th meeting minutes. Motion.
Motion, also motions. The April 8th meeting minutes for approval.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have a dissent? Nope. Okay. Approval of the April 28th, 2025 minutes are approved. All right. I'm calling for late additions to the agenda. Are there any late motion?
I wish to include a quick discussion with Annabelle's grocery into the agenda. They will be arriving around 6 o'clock, if possible. So potentially. Maybe after liaison reports. That's all right. That would be very nice.
I'm second that. I'm sorry, what's coming?
So people from Annabelle's Grocery is potentially trying to have an audience with us and stuff just to like talk about like what the current situation is and maybe gauge and see what each of these assemblies could possibly do regarding like what they do currently and stuff, what the current issue is, and how, what can we all as a collective get supported. They've been mainly talking about student assembly and they recently talked about it with GPSA. And I think in general, the more assemblies are involved, the more open support we can get, especially for people all across campus that utilize anvils.
And also like just to gauge some of the proposed next steps that our undergraduate group has worked on over the last 2 months. I asked them to come like as early as they could, but they said that, like six is. I asked them to come again as early as they can, so that it would already be around six.
Okay.
Made the agenda motion and a second, I guess, if there's consent.
Yeah, if there's consent, then. That, no dissent? Okay, so let's add Annabelle's grocery store discussion onto the agenda for the 8th. One of the usual section. Yay. Okay. Any other late additions to the agenda? Okay. Then we'll move on to business of the day. Business of the day, resolution 2, supporting universal access to menstrual hygiene products. This resolution has been presented to the group. The updated version is now attached to the agenda for today. For your review. So please take a moment to review. We can have a discussion period on it.
To start things off, I would like the sponsor of the resolution to briefly reaffirm what the resolution is supposedly targeting and what was updated. Key points are updated since the last time. I know there was a lot of discussion and a lot of ideas that are thrown left and right regarding this, especially with logistical concerns and monitoring and stuff. So generally speaking, more of what was updated and methodology behind that would be really nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christian, do you wish to speak?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know how much I can say on this, frankly, but I tried to take the suggestions into account. For one thing, bringing in the alumni affairs and development aspect into this, where there's funding from that side.
Mm-hmm.
Another change that I made was to include the student assembly LGBTQ+ student liaison or like representative.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it called as on the monitoring group, because I thought that made sense. That was not part of the discussion, though. I think it's just a lot more clear in the one right now.
Okay.
I will note there's also Andrea, would you be able to speak on what the dean of students put out? I added the whereas clause on line 41 about. Yeah, there are funds to support 14 complexes on the academic side of campus. Tampons and pads being provided at both the men's and women's restrooms. So that's a current project.
Yes.
This would be a larger implementation of similar. So it's good to know that's already part of the way there.
The one thing I do know is I think I had indicated in my email to you, Christian, it's been complicated.
Yeah.
Because it's in the men's and women's rooms. The men's rooms, there's a lot of destruction of the product, throwing them away. And that's something they've seen quite often, but it was an indicator that they were to be placed at both the men's and women's.
Mm-hmm.
Moving forward, it may be a choice to put them in single occupant and women's room.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's just something to determine what happens. And I think that most of the destruction is happening when they're in the men's room.
Yeah. And to be clear, this resolution does, I believe, specifically call for the implementation on the only women's and, you know, all gender bathrooms. So I figured it would make it a little less contentious and save money for like preventing destruction of product, et cetera. So yeah, I don't know if you guys.
Where is that specific line you mentioned?
I'm sorry?
Where's the specific line on like,
definitely was
they'll be put in women only and all gender bathrooms due to the potential destruction that we've seen in
it seems that bathrooms. Somewhere in the process it's been moved. So
if that could be added in, that'd be great. I believe that brings in greater context as to like why this decision was done. Because if that part of the resolution is not added in and the explanation, then it can be read as being a bit LGBTQ phobic overall. Because there are men that could potentially menstruate as well. So the facility is there and everything. But if there's like the legitimate reasoning of like destruction of things and stuff, until then that means that it's calling for the resolution is calling for us to tackle on this, I guess, cultural happening essentially.
Ellen. Thank you. I'm wondering if you could please clarify the issue of Title IX. I think I know where you're going with this, but the way that it's worded is not perhaps explicit. So I'm wondering if you could just say a little bit more about that, please. Thank you.
Which
Title IX
referred to? 26.
Yeah, I think this is... it sort of gets like the LGBTQ thing, like everyone should have access to the same resources. It does get complicated when we are dealing with maybe not putting it in men's restrooms, and then it becomes about where the availability of all gender restrooms are on campus and whether that's equitable. But yeah, I think like this being a need for, you know, women or, you know, trans men on campus, like they should have access to these resources. It's just not a need for you know someone like me, but doesn't like I'm sort of advantaged by that. So they should have the same right to just like go around campus without having to be worried by not having access to these.
Right. I would just recommend that be clarified a little, because right now it's not explicit. And I think for the resolution to have the impact that you want it to have, that needs to be clearer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
David.
Just a quick suggestion to reference New York State's human rights law rather than Maryland's law. New York State human rights law prohibits denial of people access to facilities on the basis of sex.
Are you from Maryland?
No. It was
no one's perfect.
In the research, like that's just what came out. I mean, yeah.
There are, and Cornell.edu maps, there are a listing of all of the single occupant toilet rooms on campus. Part of that. So it's one of those things that it's known and up to being updated on.
Nora? Kind of in the vein of what David mentioning, but at SUNY student assembly conferences, at least for the last 2 years, as I've been attending, the mandatory free menstrual products around SUNY campuses have been brought up. And I've always been curious as to if that can be applied to our contract college campuses. So like even if Goldman Smith doesn't get premenstrual products, like can we call for enforcement of like those SUNY regulations in the plant science building, for example?
I think the thought and of the current looking at the academic complexes
try and keep everything equal because people don't always know if they're in a contract college facility or a, there's a lot of places and programs on campus that are in endowed facilities, but they're contract college programs that are within that. So I think it would be great to have it consistent from an academic as well as as it's talking about expansion into the residential.
Bouncing off of that, can we also, could we maybe put in a whereas or New York, you know, Governor Hochul added that it be, you know, this be mandatory in New York State colleges, so therefore, or whereas, wherever the wording is, it should be it here at Cornell, since we do have contract colleges as well, so, you know, our student campus. Unfortunately, the funding wouldn't be New York State, it would be now, so you know, there's that to think, but let's stay positive. David?
This is more of a question. I am curious about how, following Ocean's suggestion, the non-inclusion in men's rooms would be explained. I mean, like, the obvious one is, like, men just rule in bathrooms for fun, but I don't think you can put that. So what would be the, like, do you have thoughts about sort of the explanation of language on the group?
I mean, yeah, generally speaking, when it comes to resolutions like this in the whereas clauses, being as specific as possible does the most beneficial amount of work and stuff. And I think if y'all have cited like instances in which y'all have done any kind of dispensary stuff that have been vandalized of some sorts in the past, and using that as like cited anecdotals in which why with that, plus the limited amount of resources you already have, that this resolution is gearing towards at the very minimum, addressing the issues of a population that's most at need before it expands further upon it. That's not to say that like men that menstruate are any less of deserving of getting products, but the vast majority of those that do need to use it are being prioritized for now with the limited amount of resources, and then maybe an acknowledgement that if there are more resources, then a further expansion could be more possible or something like that. I don't have the exact words, but those are just things to throw out there to add more substance in whereas it's because you're right, this is a bit of a touchy subject overall because there's many nuances on all sides and making sure that you address them makes this resolution more legitimate.
So just to provide like a little bit of anecdotal support for that, at least in appropriations committee meetings last year, was brought up that the men's bathrooms that included menstrual products, like they were just in the trash all the time. I can't remember if there was a Slate article or not on it, especially with their website being wacky right now, and their archive being inaccessible. But that was part of the justification of like at least last year. Certain communications with the paper. Yeah. So I think it's valid too. There's also the option to put dispensers outside of bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes the men's and women's entrances are very near to each other.
So if I may, I know right now, like a lot of parts of campus, at least the ones that I go to, there's just a basket. There isn't a dispenser. There's a basket that has the natural products in it. Because I don't know, I think it might just be easier for staff to stock those piles. And then also sometimes dispensers that like there's the illusion of having to paper it. I don't know the way around that. Maybe you could put something outside, but then it makes it less discreet. So it's the only thing.
On the section like that, I think, I mean, it's not a justification, but maybe an explanation of things. And that's because on the SUNY level, actually, it was Stony Brook that was one of the first preschools in the SUNY system that introduced like the free menstrual product initiative through the student government and then for the advocacy of the university and stuff. And they also brought this forth with
other institutions to try to expand on their end for that, leading up to like what we have in the city system overall, calling for the mandatory employment banks stuff. And I think the language of that may have also included things of like the definition of what a dispensary is, to include not only like the thing that's attached to Walnut stuff, but also like the baskets themselves, because they want to acknowledge like colleges and with that student governments have limited amount of budgets and stuff. And so if they're making these mandatory, disproportionately like, impacting compliance for one university over the other, there's that. And so, so the dispensary, at least for that one, is not like the requirement stuff, but at the bare minimum medium in which like tampons are being provided. Because the goal is not to have a dispensary, but just have tampons be accessible in some way. And that's like the first step for almost anything before anyone can build up from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. For some context.
Yes, I think a basket. I've seen offices, yeah. Bathrooms have a basket. Yeah. One and the same.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments or questions for this resolution? Yes,
okay. Question, do you think that you'll have an amended version of this resolution within this meeting? Is that a possibility?
Or
I can try.
Okay.
I can try.
And I guess question for the people that are in charge of UA. Is this the last UA meeting that we have?
This is the second to last, but this will be the last one that we can really discuss it at length. Our I was going to discuss this in our updates, but our May 6th meeting is our last meeting. We have transportation that's going to come and present, and then we also have to have an organizational meeting for 2025-26. So it's going to go long anyway, but it would be great if we could vote on this now, or, you know, in the next half hour.
Yes, Ocean.
Ocean motions to table the resolution to late after release and reports and before open discussion in the agenda. Yes, what I said. Yeah.
Second. Do I have any dissent? Okay. With that being said, business one. Yeah. Okay. Resolution two will be looked at again in between liaison reports and Annabelle's grocery store discussion. We can move on to committee reports now, starting with questions, comments, concerns.
Okay, great.
Committee reports, we can move on to executive.
I just gave my update.
And that's all I can say.
So I know that you're gonna be talking more in depth about it like next week and stuff, but is there any progress done for any like transition documents or something for the next year for each of the positions? Any thoughts on that?
Positions like
executive vice chair, what do you do?
That's
the
organizational meeting.
Yeah.
The organizational meeting will decide that, which is next meeting. Hopefully the chief, and please correct me if I'm wrong, GPSA and I believe the SA will need to put their people in so that we can all have the EA and the EA has put in theirs. Everybody else is still okay. So only the EA is put in their university assembly. And I know faculty's on it. That's
there. Correct. Yep. Most of those are already built.
Yep.
Everybody's still in the middle of the election.
So as soon as you get your people settled and your representatives settled, hopefully by the May 6th meeting, we'll have a full organizational meeting, in which case we'll also hopefully decide on the calendar for next year so we don't have to be in this room again.
Yes,
David. So this is a question might not be pertinent. I probably should know the answer, but the resolution on the has not been posted yet, or
what's
the status of that?
I don't know that it's posted on the U. Wait, you submitted it.
I'm still waiting for the final version.
Oh,
there were amendments and PJ helped you.
I did just get.
This morning.
No, that's okay. I assumed it was submitted, so it'll be submitted tomorrow.
Yes, we have to have the final version so we can post it.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry. I thought it was like, oh yeah, here's what we wrote.
So, on that note, the two resolutions that were passed, not resolution three, the two resolutions that were passed last meeting have been sent to the president of the university. I have not received a response yet. And then once the final version is handed, then Jessica will alert me and I will send it off to the president as well. And then it gets posted.
Yay!
Questions, comments, concerns? I always forget to ask. Ocean.
Wait, I just had it and I lost. I'm so sorry.
We can circle back.
Yeah.
Campus codes.
Nothing to report.
Okay. Campus welfare.
Working on it.
I want that reflected in the minutes. Working on.
Working.
I was just kidding. Site is not here. Questions, comments, concerns for any? Oh, Wendy, yes.
Sorry, this actually goes back to the executive committee. We, point of clarification, we actually passed three resolutions last meeting.
Yes.
And so, I only see that UAR1 and UAR4 have been submitted to the president. So the third one, that's the one that you're waiting for the final version of it. Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Point of inquiry, remind me of resolution three was again.
It is the university's university assembly's commitment to diversity, equity.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay. Assembly reports. We are going to start with student assembly. Nora.
Last meeting was very busy. President Kolakoff and Dean Mark spoke to us. Annabelle's is coming later to our meeting, so we'll have an update on what our committee has done with that student group. Done something that relates to faculty senate with course enrollment for student athletes and other athletes with serious time concerns that relate to core curriculum. This week we have more presentations and there's been so much. We had a very long debate about our standing rules and Robert's Rules of Order, which was so fun. And Christian has the resolution coming up this week on the housing contract and student entrepreneurship. Student assembly. Yeah. I don't know, we're at.
Okay. Questions or comments on the beginning and end of the student assembly? Anyone? Okay. Moving on to graduate and professional student assembly. Ocean.
Yes, thank you for that. So previously on GPSA, we had our petition period completed, and then we had the president of, was he president of Cornell University? Oh my God, whoa, don't include that in minutes. We had President Kolakoff come over along with Dean Love and Dean Bohr. To talk to GPSA, and Kolakoff did his thing as he does. He loves that. He gave his speech. He ate, and he asked questions. And he answered questions. 11 questions were asked by the GPSA body, which included the voting members and people outside of GPSA voting membership.
So it was a really engaging conversation overall, and there was not much need for any form of decorum, so that was nice. After that, I gave my presentation on the position period and how that went for GPSA. There was a lot of metrics that were created and visual and like presented to everyone GPSA to see, bring more context on like the divide between master students and PhD students, between STEM and non-STEM, between large and small department sizes on their feasibility of doing any outreach to other people within their department and outside of the department, which is a key part of electioneering, essentially. And there's always these assumptions that are made between the management subgroups and stuff, but there wasn't much data like to show. And like, sure, there's things that are like, more obvious for people to make assumptions or inferences about. But it's when you see the actual data, it's helping you see how, with as each day goes by, the number of petition signatures that people get. So there was greater context that was like added in to what could the future of GPSA elections look like since we were trying this out. There was a bit of backlash as well, right, given that I absolved the petition requirements of 50 signatures. I didn't really inform people while that was happening and stuff, mainly because I made the call early in the petitioning time when there was a huge plateau of signatures. So I was a little worried about me giving a call too early and stuff, but people were able to reach the 50 signature count, so that was nice. And yeah, it'll be helpful for whoever takes care of my chair after me. I'll keep it warm as much as I can. We also had 4 resolutions brought over, which is, I wouldn't say the most ever, but it's the most I like to see in general. One was regarding protecting LGBTQ students, which is similarly based off of the one that we did for immigration students, which was passed. Resolution 13 was regarding TCAT, universal TCAT access for all graduate students and professional students. But this is specifically targeting those that are not part of the union. As you know, TCAT has been given like TCAT passes or free CAT has been given to those with it, or are affiliated with the union, but then there's people like myself who's not because never got a chance with that. So this resolution is basically just calling for the university to help out with that. This wasn't passed, but it was made move forward to like table to like our next to our final meeting, mainly because of certain wordings and logistics of things, including the utilization of the student pay fee for those TCAP passes, which was not allowed or very much illegal. So there's that. Then there was a resolution on funding a second political participation event, and that was like easily passed almost unanimously. And resolution 15 is updating Appendix A and B, which has been updated in almost half a decade for GPSA, engineered by yours truly after multiple sleepless nights. So that's fun. I will say the things that I've done for Appendix A and B, for Appendix A was just simplifying language a lot more to make it more streamlined. And Appendix B also doing the same thing, but also making comments on how I wish that there was things that were not in Appendix B and instead were utilizing a different system instead. But we haven't had the full conversation in its entirety yet, and I'm hoping to do that in our upcoming meeting for GPSA. But beyond that, that's quite literally everything. I have ate up 8 minutes of y'all's time. I'm so sorry about that.
Questions, comments, concerns?
Emphasis on concerns.
Okay. Eric is not here, but I think Wendy offered.
Okay. Employee assembly.
Erica is not there, so I will do it on her behalf. We had our meeting last Wednesday, the 16th, President Kolakoff and Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer Christine Lovely were to attend. Christine was there. President Kolakoff, unfortunately, was called away to different, had another engagement and was not able to attend. So we are working with Office of the Assemblies to potentially reschedule him for one of our remaining meetings. The rest of the meeting went really fast, and then we actually held our organizational meeting. Jessica, cut me off if I can't do this, but we do have our new executive committee, and you're listening to the 25-26 employee assembly chair right now. Our executive vice chair is Yvonne Solis-Cruz. Our chair of operations and finance is Danielle Wyerson. Our chair for outreach and communications is Victoria Bell, and our parliamentarian is Rose Howard. We also did our appointments to the University Assembly for both the Employee Assembly Representative and the Employee Representative. So three of the four, or four of the five individuals that are currently on the University Assembly in that capacity are continuing on. Myself, Marcy Benda, and Stephanie Rizzou as the Employee Assembly Representatives, and Andrea Hanlon-Mott as one of the employee representatives. And then we'll get a new face, Victoria Bell, who some of you in the GPSA may know her. She's the program coordinator in the Big Red Barn. She is our new grad school, law school representative, and she will be also one of the employee representatives on the University Assembly for next term. And that's pretty much it on our end.
Thank you.
But yes. Yeah. Do you mind just repeating the representative one more time for the UA?
The UA representatives for next term will be myself in my capacity as incoming Employee Assembly Chair, Marcy Benda, who is one of our Employee Assembly Representatives, Stephanie Rizzou, who is the other Employee Assembly Representative, Andrea Hanlon-Mott, who is one of our Employee Representatives, and then Victoria Bell is going to be our last employee representative.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions, comments? Faculty Senate.
Sorry about that, guys. Faculty Senate, we are going to the AgriTech campus tomorrow, the Senate, and we're going on a tour meeting with the faculty constituents there. And that's pretty much what we have right now.
Questions? Comments? Concerns? Okay. Moving on to liaison reports. If your committee did not meet or has no updates, please just say no update. Campus Planning Committee.
We'll meet this week. Yeah, Thursday this week. So we'll have it at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Coalition for Sexual Violence Prevention.
No update, thank you.
Student Health Benefits Advisory Committee.
Last meeting will be held next Tuesday, so I should have an update for us at our May 6th meeting.
Thank you. Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee. Education and Engagement Steering Committee.
Very good.
Okay. And then operations steering thing.
No.
Okay. We are now, yes, Ocean.
In the interest of general timings of when animals will be arriving and the still need to review the draft amendments and stuff, given time constraints, I'm calling for a 15-minute recess.
Second. Oh, sorry. Any this set to the
15-minute
recess.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is the substance of the 15 minutes just to wait for that about and to finish off?
So 15 minutes, we're gonna be reviewing, finalizing all of this, and then that'll mean like once 15 minutes is up, we resume back in session, we debate, talk about like these amendments and stuff, have a thorough discussion. And if Annabelle arrives by then yeah.
Annabelle.
Yes. Miss Taylor.
The Annabelle.
Well, I mean, we're done with all of the leads on the board.
Yep.
I would like to counter that motion.
Okay.
And instead maybe have an open discussion real quick. If that's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I can rescind my motion for now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just
it's probably a moot point now that Ocean rescinded his motion, but I do actually need to leave at 6 o'clock. So I just want to make sure that we still have quorum should we get to the point of voting on resolution two.
The motion to recess was so that we could work together a little more on amending resolution two, essentially. That's why.
Right, but I just want to make sure if we
yeah.
adjourn and then come back at 5:45, if we have 15 minutes, if like I said, I need to leave at 6 o'clock. I have a prior engagement this evening. I just want to make sure that we'll have quorum to vote.
We need 11, right?
I believe we have quorum in the first place, and Andrea has her hand.
Like we won't if we go on, depending on the time frame, we won't have quorum.
Okay.
Is the point.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jess. I just want to point out that if you let resolution to be tabled to next meeting, you can bring it and just say there has to be, we've already entertained. Mm-hmm. Amendments. This is it, and there has to be a vote.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that seems like that's my point.
Yeah.
Is that why would we rush it through?
Right.
We're not going to have quorum because we'll have people leave. Why don't we do it that way? That makes the most sense.
And yes, Ellen.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit concerned about trying to squeeze in whatever's going on with Annabelle's Kitchen in a very short period of time. So I guess I'm wondering if we could hear a little bit more about what is being discussed or proposed, or what UA is going to be asked to do, so that we can have a sense of whether this is really going to be feasible for us given where we are in our schedule for the day. Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we do this? Is everyone interested in learning a little bit more about Annabelle's grocery store before they come here?
Yes.
Yes. So why don't we enter an open discussion period now about that specific topic? And if anyone else has another topic for open discussion, you're more than welcome to bring it up. We can table resolution two to next meeting so you don't have to rush. And it's done?
He thinks I'm still reviewing it. Yeah.
So then I'm going to keep talking for about something that isn't going to happen, probably. Okay, why don't we enter open discussion period?
I
actually
need
to
go
through this motion. A motion to open discussion. Second. We can still do that.
No, as in, since it was already put as part of the agenda, was the motion?
Yes, because Annabelle's grocery store is above open discussion right now.
Yeah.
Agenda.
On my agenda.
Okay, is there a set to an open discussion period right now?
So you have to take the
opposite. No,
list. I'm just trying to.
So where can I lean on you for?
For what?
Talking about
Annabelle. Yeah, I'm putting the PDF into the UA box.
Thank you. Okay. Right now Zora is uploading some information about Annabelle's grocery store into the box for your readability. Wait a moment.
Okay. There is a SAX Annabelle's presentation, not PDF, in the box.
Thank you.
Which put like 6 hours of, a lot more than that actually. Pulled in there, he's student teller representative, and on the Annabelle ad hoc committee. We were together from noon to 10 p.m. on Saturday. So 5 hours into this presentation. Idea. Okay, so. I'm trying to think of the best way to start this and give context.
Start with last December. Start with last December situation.
Okay. Last December, the Center for Print Central
Can I just ask you to speak up just a little bit? And thank you so much.
So for context, last December, the university notified the Center for Transformative Action that they would not be renewing their contract between the two when the university provided some form of funding for the Center for Transformative Action, which is a nonprofit that houses projects around Tompkins County, not most of them actually off campus, but Annabelle's Grocery being one of the projects that is on Cornell's campus. Annabelle's Grocery was founded by the student assembly essentially 10 years ago to help combat food insecurity on campus for Cornell at the time, sophomores, juniors, seniors, and graduate students. Now that freshmen and sophomores must live on campus, and there are there's a more expansive meal plan package and those types of things that have been developed over the last 10 years, mostly aimed at upperclassmen who live off campus and graduate students, but still same picture of fighting food insecurity. Most of the food provided in Annabelle's, or the basics, the staples in the Annabelle store, are subsidized by their subsidy fund, which is in part funded by the Center for Transformative Action, their Giving Day donations, and then their profits from the form any other semester. Annabelle's open, I think, Thursday through Sunday. It is staffed by students who are in Dyson's Annabelle's Grocery class, and the lecturer who teaches that class is the head of the Center for Transformative Action, and she also serves as the store manager for the grocery. That is where the problem arises, the staffing problem and funding problem arises for Annabelle's Grocery, with this December of 2024 notification that the Center for Transformative Action and the university would no longer continue like the same partnership and level of financial connection. And so now the Annabelle Grocery store manager position will essentially be vacant. There's no lecturer to teach the class, and that puts the store at risk of closure. Because Annabelle's Grocery is not a part of the university, because they're under the Center for Transformative Action, which is not part of the university, we're trying to figure out ways, our student group has been trying to figure out a path forward that can incorporate the store into the university. And to do that, it needs to address a few key concerns of the administration, and ministries that we've had discussions with. So one goal of the student assembly is to change the actual business structure and organizational structure to accommodate the requirements for our student activities fee, or SAF, so that can fund the subsidy fund for the groceries, which is how TechMart at MIT works. It's their student-owned grocery store. I've had conversations with their student vice president. Annabelle's brings a lot of value in terms of education, experiential learning, opportunities. So we've had discussions around the class and how that could be expanded. And we've also brought in conversations with DPSA. I don't really have like quite the total feel organized, so I'll let Ocean take over for a bit.
Yeah, so when GPSA was called in to, well, at least like when I was called in to learn more about the situation at Annabelle's, they were telling us that the university has been putting them through the financial struggle that's happening. They pulled it from the umbrella organization, and they have been fundraising, as Zora mentioned, but fundraising can only do so much, which is why they're trying to find many ways in which they can make up for the gap that they were trying to solve. When asked about what the amount was, they told me that the amount that they've been trying to fundraise is about $30,000 a year or so. And that's what they've been trying to find. And the other context of things that they wanted to note was that in terms of usage of Annabelle's, they did say that Annabelle's has been utilized a lot, and they have the metrics to demonstrate that, with the target demographics being majority upperclassmen and graduate students because of the affordability of foods that they have, with the occasional faculty and staff that come by to take purchases, with the faculty and staff specifically mainly coming from those that are in Annabelle's or Annabelle Taylor or the law school or anywhere that's around there and stuff, because it's just another site that's like close by overall. They also mentioned that with the issue regarding like payments and everything, with like getting the budget essentially, the director has for Annabelle's and also for the umbrella organization, they have committed to like help out next semester as a bit of a as a survey manager and stuff, but there's also a teaching class component that comes with it as part of the undergraduate aspect of things that they can't do anymore because of the funding issues. And so as mentioned by Zora, some of the things that they were looking to was doing byline funding with student assembly. In terms of GPSA's perspective, we were made aware that there are some grad students that are trying to make a grad student version organization on the GPSA's end and stuff to get some kind of like filing funding for that, like also to have like more grad students be more actively involved with the management of Annabelle Taylor beyond just the usage of it. There's a lot of graduate students on in college town, and that's very close accessibility for Annabelle's. But for grad students to actually help out with like management of the store and other metrics of that, that's kind of what that organization was hoping to do. And they're working with Anurag as well as Michelle Eaney, who is a former part of our e-board last year, to help out with that. Some suggestions I gave them was basically trying to find a way if there's, if Annabelle's could be included as part of Appendix B per se. I haven't given them like full confirmation, like, yeah, this will happen and stuff. I still need to talk to with Anurag and potentially it might be finance or whoever the future VP finance is. But I did let them know that Cornell Cinema has had funding from us through Appendix B routes. They, the Bigger Barn has done so as well, Cornell Concerts and organizations. So in my perspective, if there is a clear demonstrated need for grad students to have another source of food accessibility that Annabelle's provides, and that there's metrics to show that grad students are utilizing it, including them as part of Appendix B is something that I would like to see happen. And that's kind of like why Annabelle's would be presenting in our upcoming meeting on Monday, and they're potentially meeting with the GPSA executive board tomorrow during our e-board meeting, essentially, to find the feasibility of things overall. Of course, with the Appendix B routes, it's also dependent on whether the president of the university is also amenable to these things and stuff. But given the current financial situation where we have a lot of rollover on things, and there's things that could be rearranged within budget, I'd like to think that there's possibility, but of course I can't firmly confirm onto things without like having discussions, which is why we're looking forward to have that Manor E-Word meeting as well as the general body meeting as such. And we were touching base with them because we see how great organization Annabelle's has been, and we're shocked to hear about the loss of funding overall and stuff. I've used Annabelle's personally very often because I needed onions as much as I don't like onions. And yeah, I just did not want to see something that's doing so much good just because like, oh, food insecurity is not too much of an issue right now, where there's so many dining halls on campus already. Just because something is working well and that it's not an issue anymore doesn't mean you should get rid of it. If there's not many fires happening in homes, you shouldn't be defunding the fire department. That's my philosophy behind that, essentially.
Yeah. So gave my bearings a little bit more. Also as part of this conversation, so the way that the student assembly was connected with Annabelle's was through one of the student assembly alums who was one of the founders of Annabelle's. So we've had a lot of communication with him. And there's an alumni base of support for Annabelle's. However, in conversations with them, the student assembly group has been uncomfortable like supporting them as they are now in their current organizational structure. The $30,000 that they're looking to gain is exclusively to pay the salary of a store manager and from so one of the members of our ad hoc committee is formerly took the class, but formerly worked at Annabelle's, and does have an idea of how little opportunity there is for the students to remain engaged past the class, and how there is very little sharing of knowledge from student cohort to student cohort. The internal structure of the sort honestly does not make any business sense, and it runs incredibly inefficiently. So our group has also taken on a lot of, we care a lot about making sure that that the structure, like the organization, it's a nonprofit, and that doesn't mean that they need to run completely in the red. They run very deeply in the red for some reason, and no one can really figure out exactly why. Every time we look at their books, it just really doesn't make sense. So that's where we're also looking to change their structure, is that we could get them $30,000 through our student activity fee that can go towards subsidy fund and move funds around for them to pay a part-time store manager, still doesn't really solve the root issue of like a huge waste of money and a huge waste of resources and time and effort with how it's currently run. So we're looking to make sure that students can stay engaged with Annabelle's past the one semester they spend in the class, making sure that it's a good learning opportunity. I mean, if you ever take a business management class, a grocery store simulation or grocery store case study is oftentimes the very first case study you'll encounter, because grocery stores are so impossible to manage. It's a great educational site on campus, which is also why, and that is where it serves undergraduates just as much as it serves undergraduates for food purchases. And they do have an increase, they've seen an increase in interest in unique customers in the last 2 years, but it's still not really enough. I have friends who are sophomores who have received permissions to live off campus due to like personal situations, like setting up independent lives in Ithaca, and seriously, grocery shopping on a budget, don't know what Annabelle's is, right? Like they don't, they also need to increase their PR, they need to improve a variety of things to make sure that it's not just 600 independent 600 unique undergraduate students that they're serving every semester. It's instead, you know, a much higher percentage of our 16,000 undergraduates.
Yeah. And just to add on, these are some of the things that we have been seeing within Annabelle's, of like, we want to support them overall, and we do see like there's like gaps in what they need to do in order to make sure that they're much more solidified overall. But within the student group, at least we can definitely confirm that it's not us that's trying to hold their hands while they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's the students that are running Annabelle Taylor's themselves that are really determined to find ways on how to keep Annabelle's continuing, because they do see a lot of consistent usership for animals, and they don't want to see something so critical to addressing food insecurity go away. And so that's why a lot of them have been like independently been reaching out to us to try to make sure that there's ways in which Student Assembly, GPSA, or potentially anyone else within shared governance that can help out with their functionalities and stuff. The main things that GPSA and Student Assembly is doing ideally is to pave some sort of a way for them to get some kind of access to funding. But a lot of the work in terms of infrastructure, in terms of mobilization, in terms of from a PR overall marketing, making sure that first year students and up until like upperclassmen and even grad students are even aware of Annabelle Taylor's and how to use them, the ease and all that stuff, and much more. They're putting in the work on that. I see that within the shared drive that they've shared with that Sora has shared with me, that has everyone. And I see within the version histories that it's really everyone that's working together on it. So they're a really passionate ragtag bunch of fellows that are really, really passionate about something like this. And I don't see that too often on campus. And I don't like to see that go away.
Yeah, this is probably the most effective student assembly committee I've ever been a part of. It's only five people, and we meet for at least 2 weeks a week, but oftentimes more, to add in how much time we're spending communicating via text or over the phone. And it's been very enriching. We're really looking to not really continue the status quo of Annabelle's Grocery, like I was saying earlier, but really enter a new, more sustainable chapter for Annabelle's Grocery, which is why I want to include
including the university assembly and the conversation, at least just to understand the broader campus picture.
And we do apologize for doing it very last minute overall. It's just that with this happening in December, I'm trying to figure out what are the next steps, organizing this new assembly afterwards, and even GPS is brought in later to the agenda.
In March.
Yeah. The timeline was a little bit short with things at all because of how current this situation has been.
But yeah.
Oh, they're actually here.
Sorry. Yeah, Lynn asked her question. Could you give us 1 second actually before you come in?
Okay.
Sorry about that.
So much. Thank you.
Yes, Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. I may have missed this because audio was kind of cutting out a little bit at my end, but had you said anything about what current partnerships might be in place with area grocery stores, Wegmans, Trader Joe's, even Aldi's? Are there structures already in place that at least are helping in terms of the provision of some of the supplies that are needed?
I believe
I can answer.
Oh, you can answer that?
No. The answer is no. The partnerships with, and Elmore and Jacob can answer this better, but as far as we've discussed, there are limited partnerships with like area grocers, only really like suppliers like Why Do We Bakery or some of other like local suppliers. But I mean, there are a variety of issues in their supply, quite honestly, and how they organize those and how they come to those agreements. And now they're the student group, now that the students are really taking the lead on this, are looking to maybe like increase partnership with Wegmans, or like have those discussions with Cornell alums who work in the food industry, like Ithaca Hummus even. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there.
Right. I'm not sure who raised their hand first. Or
I think that now that they're here, my question could be asked.
Okay. Andrea.
Well, I worked a lot on the location forever ago at Annabelle Taylor, trying to find spots. And we did a lot of accessibility improvements to be able to do that forever ago. Is it a space issue they're looking? Is it someone looking to take over the space?
No.
That's not part of it. Okay.
No, the student assembly has invested like almost $500,000 in Annabelle's over the last decade. And a large part of that was in designing the space they currently occupy. So I think it would also just be a waste from that perspective of like, if it were to shut down, like what happens to that?
Well, I just didn't know because there was always questions because Annabelle, there's not great parking near it or any of that, whether or not there was another space, but that it's not a space issue.
No.
Okay.
Luckily not.
Yes. Mercy. Is this the only like food pantry on campus?
No, there's a food pantry. There's two places where students can get in some way subsidized food.
So the food pantry. The food pantry, as it currently stands, is at the very northmost part of West Campus, and it's open during arguably odd hours during the week, essentially from like 4 to 7 on Tuesday, and maybe 5 to 6:30 on Thursdays. And I don't have those exact numbers and stuff, but it's really interesting hours of operations, and especially for graduate students, which we also have like a lot of like our schedules like kind of like book until like 6 or 7 or something, and. A lot of us are mostly in Central Campus, and West Campus is very far away on that sense when we live in either Maplewood or College Town or Hasbrook, nowhere near that area, essentially, it becomes a challenge as well, which is why we typically either utilize Annabelle's, which also closes around like 7 stuff, but at least with the buses, it makes it easy for us to get to Annabelle's, or we would just use Wegmans or Target Trader Joe's.
They also kind of offer complimentary foods. So like Annabelle's will have produce for the food pantry, will have, like rice or something like that.
Okay. Is everyone ready?
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Hello, Annabelle Taylor, grocery store.
Okay. So now we will be moving out of open discussion and into
the
Annabelle's.
grocery store discussion. They have the like they have the slide available to them, but I mean, kind of doing Q&A.
Yes,
it proper.
Hi, welcome to University Assembly. Do you mind, and would you be comfortable with introducing yourself?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I'm Eleanor. I'm an undergrad. I'm a junior in Cal's, and I've been part of Annabelle's since my first day freshman year.
Nice to meet you all. I'm Jacob. I'm a senior in Cal's. Also been involved with Annabelle since my first day here. I've been an operations coordinator for 4 years now.
And to catch up on speed with what we've discussed, we already talked about a little bit of the history of Annabelle's, but also the current situation since last December, conversations, involvements with Student Assembly and GPSA, and the current fundraising efforts that y'all been doing and stuff. I don't know if there's anything specific that you would like to mention before we go to. I'm not the chair, I'm so sorry.
I mean, I guess if we don't know what's been discussed so far, we're happy to just answer questions and fill in as it goes. So.
Okay. All right, we're going to enter a questioning period. So if you have a question for or about Annabelle's grocery store, please feel free to raise your placard. David.
So I guess the question I have here is just what can the University Assembly do for you? What's your ask?
Yeah, we've been collaborating with Student Assembly and GBSA more recently now. Our biggest issues are the affiliation agreement with CTA. It doesn't have direct effects on Annabelle's, but an overall capacity issue has come about from that because the CTA director, Uncle Wessels, is the like advisor for Annabelle. She's also the professor of the course. So we have been operating at a loss with Annabelle's anyways the past few semesters. I don't have like specific financial data here, but we lose approximately $15,000 a year currently. And that is like with the offset of like the prices of goods, like with salaries of student employees, a lot of the operations backend stuff that we have to pay for, that's offset with sales and donations and fundraising such as World Giving Day. And we receive support from both these assemblies in the past, specifically like GPSA 2018 to 2022, we received $20,000 a year through like specific funds for food insecurity. And I don't wanna like speak on behalf of Eleanor, but I think coming here to University Assembly is just gaining more diverse perspectives from the conversations we've already had, whether it be like specific funding avenues, the perspectives of faculty of avenues we can explore, and just any support you might be able to offer.
Yeah, I think you've summarized that pretty well. But right now, essentially because SCL decided to pull their funding from CTA, we've been in somewhat of a rough situation. As I'm sure was mentioned before, Annabelle's is a project that the undergraduate and graduate student assembly have heavily invested in the past. So we really think that it would be a shame to let it go to waste at this point. Annabelle's was, to my knowledge, the first student-run grocery store in the country, and now this model has been adopted at other campuses. It's something Cornell uses very frequently in its advertising, and yet they haven't provided us with any alternative avenues for funding besides these assemblies. So we really just wanted to come here today and to be able to share that with all of you and figure out what else we might be able to do to help support Annabelle's into the future.
For a bit of context for GPSA's involvement with Annabelle's, I do believe that there may have been some involvement with GPSA in terms of funding Annabelle's in the past. However, the specifics on the amount and the method in which is a little bit lost in history at the moment. But regardless of that, it is still, regardless, a very valuable asset for graduate students overall, which is why we're demonstrating GPSA's interest overall now.
Well, we found GPSA seems to have given $20,000 a year for 4 years, from I believe 2016 to 2020.
Prior to COVID.
Yeah.
Before I was, no.
Whoa.
Before I was here.
I'm wondering if you have any clear sense of what kinds of issues or problems or whatever it might have been that led to the withdrawal of funding. I mean, I think what we've heard is that this is a very valuable resource. It's utilized by both undergraduate and graduate students and sometimes others that are part of our community. So it seems to me that there's some kind of disconnect or something, right, between the utility of this entity and why it has lost the support institutionally. So I'm wondering if you can speak to that a little bit more. Thank you.
I can hit on one point, then I know Eleanor can fill in. The affiliation agreement with the Center for Transformative Action with Student and Campus Life, that was a 53-year agreement. We basically have two more years of rollover for that agreement before it effectively goes out of place. But the reasoning behind was a little, it was a bit of a gray area. I think where we've landed now is CTA does not align with SCL mission quite as well as it used to, because just quoting what we've heard from upper administration is that CTA has expanded beyond the student breadth and support, and the projects under CTA, which is over 30 now, has a larger impact on the community, such as Tompkins County, and there are some projects in New York City as well. But in these founding documents between CTA and SCL, this was always the goal, and the purpose was for CTA to expand its impact to help the broader community as well as campus, like student and campus life. So there was a bit of mixed messaging there. So we were a little confused on kind of why that is a divergence point now, because that has always been a founding principle of what CTA was supposed to provide. But I know Eleanor can speak a little more.
Yeah, I think that hits the main points. But just to further clarify, it's not exactly as if Cornell split its affiliation with Annabelle's, because Cornell has never officially been affiliated with Annabelle's. It's because by severing this contract with CTA, it severely impacts Annabelle's, and it will likely also impact these 35 other organizations that are some of the main nonprofits, both at Cornell and in the Ithaca community. And the reasoning that they gave to us for that was varied, but included things like CTA is no longer as religiously affiliated as it used to be. A lot of the projects are community-based rather than student-based. And again, we have evidence from our founding documents that that's always what the intention of CTA was. So that's something we're still a little bit confused about. There were also, so at least on the face of it, Cornell administration is still very interested in Annabelle specifically and in keeping that project alive. We just haven't been provided with kind of like alternative avenues for that with CTA's questioning. So it's not necessarily specifically about Annabelle's, but it affects Annabelle's.
So this might be separate from this conversation.
Yeah.
Because it focuses on, because it's supposed to be, did the university say that they are no longer going to be, one of the reasons for no longer being affiliated with CTA is because it is no longer as engaged in religious program?
That was a reason that was given to us in a private meeting. I don't think that's written anywhere. CTA was formed in 1971 because it split from what is now the Office of Spirituality and Meaning Making. That's where this money is redirected. So it wasn't about cutting costs either. It's been redirected. And part of the reason CTA was formed was to have that split. So that reasoning, I didn't fully understand either. Although it is true, it has to be
private. There's no public document saying that university.
No, there's no public documents. That was like a private reason that was given to us.
But administration, it might be important to know if they want to redirect the affiliation with another institution within the college. So there have been talks about having an affiliation tied to entrepreneurship at Cornell, but that ultimately wouldn't come with any funding.
Yeah, the university can spend money as it wants, but it cannot use the religious or non-religious engagement of an organization as the basis for funding.
Right.
So if it is saying this, that's a huge problem.
If I may, just also want to add in, because this is so it's also brought up and stuff, just for further context, Last December was when they got the whole like notification that they were the funding was like being pulled from CTA essentially, and that was the decision made by VP Lombardi essentially. But now he's on sabbatical, which is now Dean Loves's jurisdiction involvement. But now Dean Love is also in a very interesting position where predecessor's ruling on this is now being made, but now there's a lot of pushback because of current situations. And Dean Love is in this current position overall. It's an interesting position to be in. And I understand where she's coming from with certain things when she's being hesitant on things. But at the same time, Annabelle's is catering to our demographic and the student assembly's demographic as well, and potentially other demographics that, as much as is not in the same levels as upperclassmen and graduate students, are still being met regardless.
Just to clarify, I don't think that was like their single explicit reason.
It
that
cannot be a single reason. But yeah,
the one that was expressed to us privately. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other questions from University Assembly members? What ones? Okay. How can members reach you if they'd like to discuss further?
Yeah, I mean, we can give our personal emails. We have an Annabelle-specific email. We have a group of people working on, you know, fundraising strategy. So whatever is easiest for you all will be in touch.
Can I just say my personal email or my...
Whichever one you want to share.
This... We're also in coordination with both.
Yeah, I was looking for me if that's easier.
Okay,
So if you'd like to reach out for these questions, contact Zora. If you'd like to talk about Annabelle's grocery store further or have anything else to add or questions, yes, Andrea.
Should we go to a committee, potentially?
Well, we have an ad hoc within student assembly, so I'm not totally sure. I'll U.S. chair, what you think of that.
If, like,
of this being, like, put through, like, working with, like, welfare or something.
Yeah. Ocean, you have a...
While I do believe that it may make more sense to fit this discussion of Annabelle Taylor of Annabelle's grocery store within campus welfare, I still believe that it's more beneficial if things are consolidated into like one group regardless instead of being fragmented within. That way discussion, like flow of discussion coordination can be like having like every partner all together and stuff. So even though it's not like within GPSA and stuff, we would still be like interested in like being part of like that advocacy group overall under the student assembly for now, because it was being brought forth by the student assembly as a charge of like requesting for help, and they're doing what the best they can and stuff overall. And so, and if anything with UA, there's always going to be a student assembly representative, so the UA would be in the loop on things as we go.
Okay. I guess in that case, it's the still stands. If you want to talk about Annabelle's grocery store, please contact Zora.
If like any ideas or our next steps, like moving forward, we appreciate it, because like we have some pretty solid ideas. We've been working. We've gotten used to working together. Which has been great, but the real benefit of like having the UA to talk to is their like perspective, like employees and faculty. Even expansion of like Envo's customer base.
Okay. Well, in that case, this concludes the discussion period on Envo's grocery store. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yes,
okay. Ocean motions to move back to the discussion on resolution two. We are
have a forum. We can discuss it, but I don't think we have a forum.
I thought that the whole idea was to move
that.
I thought we just discuss moving it.
Great. We can, what is the motion?
I shall rescind it because. it's being tabled to the next meeting.
Well, either way, it's on the agenda. We haven't tabled it yet. So we're on to the next part of the agenda, which is resolution to supporting universal access to menstrual hygiene products. Is there a motion?
Yes.
Motion to accept meeting time to 6:20.
There's a motion. Okay, there's a motion on the table to extend the meeting to 6:20. It has been seconded. Is there dissent? Okay.
It's in the box.
Resolution 2.
The
support
doc.
Universal access to menstrual hygiene products. The updated version is in the box. Please review.
Please review the Word doc. It is the same name, but it is in the Word doc format.
Also, question.
Yes.
With Wendy having to leave, do we still have quorum?
We do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
If I may speak on the updates,
mm-hmm.
the main updates that were made was just simplified language that we requested before, making things a little more explicit, especially with the explanation on the men's restroom. We focused on including in the New York State law mention, but and then also expanding a little more on what more specifics on the monitoring group and how it's being reported to university center overall, as well as part of like the involvement mechanism on university assembly's end of this resolution. I skimmed through it. I think it looks good.
I'm having a lot of trouble finding this. Could someone please put the link into the chat?
You did put this in the...
Oh, it wasn't a PDF, but they're...
It's not a PDF, it's a doc.
It's a Word doc. The Word doc format.
Mm-hmm. It is in the meeting materials 2024 to 2025, April 22nd, 25. It is the second one down under appendix for Annabelle's September 2015 business. UA Resolution 2, CWC Universal Access 2,
Again, could I'm sorry, my box.
I'm trying, Ellen. Just 1 second. I had to log in.
And I had to refresh because I was
Thank
in there.
Thank you.
It was not showing.
Hi, everyone. I actually have to leave to take my son to his extracurricular. Are you still going to have quorum?
We need 11, right,
DJ?
We will have 11.
He's
still
there?
I know. He's not.
Rob
is not a member of
UL. Hot twist. What?
Yeah, well,
he's always here.
I love that.
Oh my god, you're so right. No wonder I remember his face. Not his face.
Yeah, they'll have exactly 11.
It just doesn't matter.
Will we be able to vote quickly? Because I'm actually on my way to do the same thing, and I'm driving, so.
I think that we should table this and just vote next.
I need a motion.
All right. Motions to table Resolution 2 to the last meeting of the University Assembly of this academic year.
Okay.
If you have any suggested changes, etc., please email me about it. So that we can do that and get it ready before the next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you didn't hear what Christian just said, he said if you have any amendments, please email them before the next meeting. Next meeting, we will not be going into a question period or discussion period. We will simply be voting on the resolution at hand. Okay. With that being said, this meeting is adjourned at 6:00. With that being said, I'm entertaining a motion
to adjourn. Motion to adjourn.
Okay. This meeting is adjourned.
Seconded. Okay, great.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned at 6:16 p.m. on Tuesday, April 22nd.
It's 16.